Joining us now from the Sporting News, Vinny Iyer, kind enough to join us. Vinny, how you doing?
Hey, Vinny.
Doing well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, Vinny, let me ask you this. When you write a piece on Tim Tebow, do you still get a ton of traffic on that story?
It depends. I think more people are interested from a general point of view than football fans. So
yeah.
I think where you get it is that people know Tim Tebow from other things he's done. He's been on TV a lot in different ways. So a lot of people can tell you nothing about Tim Tebow's football career, but they know he's a football player. He got married. He was a nice guy, seemingly, that everyone likes, at least off the field. I think on the field, I think he annoys some people. But on the field, at least, or off the field, genuinely nice guy that does a lot of inspiring things. So I think most people know him that way. So it's interesting. I think for football fans, they moved on. I mean, we move on quickly to the flavor of the day, and he hasn't been the flavor of anything for almost a decade now.
Do you think this is a publicity stunt for Urban Meyer, or do you think he sees real worth in this?
Well, maybe they should change their nickname for the Jaguars publicity stunts, because it seems like everything they've done here, and you don't need to do all this. It seems like hiring Urban Meyer to get a splashy move, then these London games that always seem to be on the radar. Then they said, okay, we got Trevor Lawrence coming in. Let's also get his running back, Travis Etienne, even though we, as an undrafted rookie, have a very good season for us last year. So everything seems to be splash and attention. I think the Jaguars are doing exactly what people don't like in Jacksonville that other people say they do, is that they want to bring attention to this franchise that, quite frankly, I mean, you look in relation to the rest of the NFL, this is not a marquee team in terms of there's no national following. There's no real buzz around the Jaguars. They haven't been consistently good in a while. Even when they went to the AFC Championship game against the Patriots, and you just didn't believe in them. You knew the Patriots were going to come back and win that game. So it's a tough franchise to wrap your head around, but they just were a few plays away from the Super Bowl. I think the biggest way to get your fan base going in the NFL, simply win games. I mean, that's the number one thing. I don't think you need gimmicks. Everyone has an equal opportunity to win games. Go out there and do it, and I don't know how they're going to sell this to all these young, hungry players. They're rebuilding, and they bring in a 33-year-old tight end. I mean, that's a hard thing to accept. And these players, I mean, most of these guys weren't even close to being in the league when Tim Tebow got into the league. So I think they're going to be scrapping, fighting for jobs. And you have a guy here that hasn't done anything for a while and just gets a contract to get into training camp.
Vinny Iyer, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network as you look at – all right, so settle a bet with us. You're not going to settle it, but just kind of weigh in on this. We have a bet as to whether Tim Tebow will be on an active 53-man roster at any point this season just for one game. Do you think it'll happen?
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, you look at some of the players that have a tight end, it's not very good overall. That could give him a chance to stick at that position, but I don't think Jaguars are going to be a heavy tight end usage team. They haven't been that way in a while. You look at it, they're pretty loaded at wide receiver at this point, so I don't see any way he lasts that long, and maybe that's not even the intent. Maybe it's just to get a Urban Meyer surrogate, for the lack of a better word, to be on the field there and kind of preach the Urban Meyer way as an extra guy in those positional drills when they're getting together, warming up there before they go full contact in training camp and all that. So I think it's to get a presence out there that Urban Meyer trusts, a veteran player that some people might still respect at a high level just because the way he's fought hard to always give it his best. And if he's not capable of doing something, you don't see it. He's still going to try with the effort, you know, as much as possible with Tim Tebow. That's never been a question mark. So I think it's a ploy maybe to just build a culture there with Trevor Lawrence. But to me, you have Trevor Lawrence. You don't need to bring in something like this. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is a mature, championship-winning quarterback. He didn't win the Heisman like Tebow, but all of the things in his resume are just as impressive when he was a college quarterback. So you have this guy that can come in and lead your team, play well right away, like we saw with Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert last year. just rely on that guy to be your leader, because I think he's going to emerge as a young leader here for the Jaguars not too long into the season.
Let's talk a little bit about this Aaron Rodgers saga. Where are we headed with this thing, and how long until he's in Denver?
Well, I think the less you hear and from this whole situation, and as long as you don't hear from Aaron Rodgers, and as more time passes, less and less chance. So right now, I mean, it's tough. Even if you were the Broncos and wanted to make this a deal for him, look at how much you have to get done in a short period of time to get him into the offense. I know he can be a quick study, highly intelligent, probably can pick up the playbook in a month and be ready to go, but you have to make a big decision about your future. I mean, the Broncos kind of tabled that decision in the draft that they didn't like what they saw there early and just said, okay, we're not going to tap into this class of first-round quarterbacks when everyone thought they were going to do that. So I think that's what's left the door open, but maybe this is just the Broncos' decision. They just didn't want to go after a quarterback quite yet, and they were going to see how it plays out with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater this year, then go into the draft thinking they need a quarterback next year and maybe feel a little bit more comfortable about the prospects that could emerge then. So it's really hard to read both sides at this point, but I'd say the more time passes, the more you're hearing different people share opinions on Aaron Rodgers, people that have played with him that might be his friends, and the way they've said, look, he doesn't love the situation, but he kind of put them on notice with all this, leaked a few things that were kind of constructed into a report saying he wanted out. I think it was more just a wake-up call to his team, and I think the message has been received that they can move forward maybe.
So you think at the beginning of next season, Aaron Rodgers will still be a Green Bay Packer?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would say if you want a percentage on it, I'll give you 75% to 85%. So I still feel pretty confident about that. So I'm leaving a little open window that he could end up in Denver. I don't want to never say never with these things because they change in a hurry.
Vinny Iyer with us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Back to Aaron Rodgers a little bit, though. If I'm the Packers, what can I do to try to placate? You can't go back and not draft Jordan Love again. So what can the Packers do right now to try to make Aaron Rodgers a little bit more at ease outside of firing a GM, which I don't think they would be willing to do?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe the Broncos should see what they can give up to get Jordan Love. It's probably going to be a lot less, I'll tell you that. I mean, if you're giving up half your offensive skill players and future draft picks to get a quarterback, I don't know what that quarterback can do with limited weapons around him. So, yeah, I think they should look to deal Jordan Love. I mean, there are plenty of teams that could stash a quarterback. Maybe New Orleans won't like the way that Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill battle is going, and Ian Book may not be an answer there. So, maybe they might take a flyer on another guy that you could bring in. And maybe you see a team like the Washington football team where they didn't like their situation enough to trade up with the draft pick they had to make that move while the Bears were a little bit more aggressive. So they've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, not much going on in the future. So maybe they look at camp and say, look, let's take a chance on Jordan Love here. He's a first-round pick just a couple years ago. We can now get him for a much lesser value probably and take our shot with him behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. So it's going to be very interesting here what they do to try to appease Rodgers going forward. I think they've already tried to do a lot, but I think the biggest thing they can do is just listen and bring him into kind of the leadership process. And people say that's not necessarily what a quarterback should be doing, but the quarterback bears so much responsibility of the team winning. This is a quarterback-driven league. Everything has made it so with the way the rules are, the passing game. So that player should have a level of power in terms of personnel control. And I think for all these situations, Russell Wilson's unhappiness, Deshaun Watson before things went south in another way, and what you're hearing from Rodgers, it's all because of Tom Brady. He controlled his situation. Look what he got. He got into his ideal situation to help him get another Super Bowl ring. So I think all these other veteran quarterbacks are getting the same idea.
Well, I always know a sports story is big when my wife comes home and asks me about it. She's not a sports fan, and she came home the other maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and she's like, tell me about this Deshaun Watson guy. It was huge. It was everywhere. I mean, my wife's talking about it. It must have been a big story. Obviously, it was huge in the sporting world. And now it's just kind of gone the last week and a half. Where are we at with that right now, Vinny?
I think there's just so much to kind of go through here. There's so many accusations. I think the Texans have also tried to slow things down in this process, and maybe there's a chance that he could play through this. I don't see it. I see more of an exemplarist situation happening with Deshaun Watson, and I think they kind of tipped their hand. When you draft a quarterback there in Davis Mills with your first pick that you enter the draft in, I mean, that tells you something right there, that they're really concerned. Tyrod Taylor is a guy that you can plug and play and start now on any team. He's been that type of guy for the past few years now. So I think it's serious business that Deshaun Watson, not maybe the way the Texans wanted, but he just might not be available for this team all season long, because they're going to have to sort through a lot here. This is very serious stuff that you have to just consider, because, I mean, there's a chance at the worst-case scenario that Deshaun Watson doesn't play again in this league. I mean, just teams might not want to touch someone, or the legal part of this might be too much for him to overcome. So there's so many wide ranges of outcomes here that we just have to wait to see how it plays out. But I don't think we'll have a resolution anytime soon, except the fact that Watson probably is not going to play, at least in the early part of the season.
Who is your steal in the NFL draft? Any player that isn't getting talked about a lot you think could have a big impact in year one?
Yeah, I think there were a lot of those type of players. I think when you look in the first round, I like all the teams that got pass rushers. So I like Gregory Russo there. I like Odofa-Owe from Penn State. I like all those edge rushers that kind of had to wait their turn. You look at that Jalen Phillips stepping into a good situation in Miami with the Dolphins. I think these teams, I don't know what happened, but pass rusher should be the second thing on everyone's mind after the quarterback. And the teams that really loaded up in the draft, any of these guys, like Carlos Basham there, Wake Forest, I like Chris Rumpf of Duke. Quincy Roche was a nice pick later in the draft by the Steelers. Just, I really like the edge rushers. I think they were a bit underrated by everyone, because there were a few injury issues that people were concerned about with some of these players, what scheme, 3-4 or 4-3, but I think all these guys are going to make their teams happy, whether they're guys that line up and play every down or situational guys that get after the quarterback.
So if I gave you, as far as drafted targets, Kyle Pitts or any one of the top receivers that was drafted, who do you think is going to have the more receiving yards out of the target crew, and then throwing Kyle Pitts in?
I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to have the most yards. I think he's going to step in as the Bengals' number one receiver. Jalen Waddle, there's some competition there between Devontae Parker and Will Fuller there. And you look at Devonta Smith, there's a few different types of weapons. They still have the two tight ends and Jalen Reagor, last year's first-round pick. So I think it's going to be close, but I have Chase over Smith in that battle. So I specifically thought about that. Now, Kyle Pitts could easily lead everyone in touchdowns. I mean, he's going to be a red zone force. I mean, you look at Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. Those guys are going to draw a lot of attention. Kyle Pitts is going to have a lot of easy routes and catches here all season long, especially in the red zone, where Ridley is also a very good receiver. So you're going to have to pick your poison there. So I see Kyle Pitts. I mean, if I was going to say one of those receivers is a lock for double-digit shutdowns, I'm going to feel the best about Kyle Pitts this season in Atlanta.
So when we talked to you before the draft, I said that it would be – not a particularly great idea for the Bengals to choose Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell. You said, well, they can still get value, and they're bringing guys back off injury. Obviously, the Bengals sided with you on that. Just give us your thoughts on what the Bengals could look like with that offensive line without, you know, Penei Sewell, who could have helped out there, but certainly getting one of the best offensive weapons in the draft.
Yeah, I think when you look at the Bengals' offensive line, if you pulled back and saw, okay, Jonah Williams was a first-round pick, he really hasn't had a chance to show what he can do here because of injury. But we know what kind of player he was at Alabama. Then you get Riley Reiff. He's not the greatest blocker there, but he's solid. You can put him in the right tackle spot. And then that second-round pick, watch out for him. I mean, Jackson Carman, he's a guy that protected Trevor Lawrence's blind side, but I think he can play right tackle. You can put him at guard. He actually might be better as an overall player guard. And don't forget, the Bengals also needed some run-blocking improvement interior to help them there, and Joe Mixon, and take pressure off the quarterback that way. So I think their offensive line can surprise some people and be a little bit better. But now you also have three weapons there, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, where Joe Burrow's not going to have to hold the ball long. Someone's going to get open between those three guys. So I think he'll use his feet well, avoid the pass rush. Actually, in the game, it's funny, when he got hurt against Washington, this was one of the better protecting games that the Bengals had, and it was just a fluke thing that happened. So I think a lot has been made about that, but I think Joe Burrow is a smart quarterback. The Bengals want to see what they have, and the offensive linemen they already had, and now Carmen in the mix. And Chase is a game-breaking number one receiver that they needed. And oh, yeah, it helps that he's got a great connection already established with Joe Burrow.
Well, former BYU quarterback Zach Wilson's got a mini cap underneath him, and obviously you're starting to work with that Jets organization. What kind of buzz or hype is coming out of there? Are they happy, thrilled, excited with their pick? And how far do you think Zach Wilson, or how much can Zach Wilson improve that organization?
Well, there are two systems that I trusted the most to get the most out of these quarterbacks taking the first round. So I think about the system being just as important, because you can shuffle up these quarterbacks and put them on different teams and you won't feel as good about them. But the best systems, and this includes what the Patriots have, are the two 49er-style systems. So basically that's what the Jets are installing here, with Michael Floor coming over, the same style of offense. It's been very friendly to quarterbacks, especially ones that can move a little bit, are accurate, you're going to make smart decisions, and I think you'll get all that from Zach Wilson. So I think he's going to have a fine first year. I mean, he's guaranteed to start, just like Trevor Lawrence. They really have no other options here. And this receiving core is not too bad. You have multiple slot options. You have Corey Davis that you invested money in. Denzel Mims can be a playmaker. You got some healthy tight ends. You invested in your offensive line. So I think this Jets offense is going to be much improved. Wilson is going to be a big part of that. So I really like the way the Jets approach their offseason. I mean, thinking ahead a little bit with getting Wilson and the system that they had. So I think he's going to have a lot of success. And if Trey Lance can get in there and start for the 49ers in that system, watch out for Wilson versus Lance actually being the rookie of the year battle to watch here versus Trevor Lawrence versus Justin Fields.
Wow. Well, Vinny, we appreciate your time, man. Thanks for joining us. Always great insight. Look forward to catching up again here soon.
Thank you, Vinny.
All right, thanks, guys.
Vinny Iyer, Sporting News, also the Locked On Network. Locked On Fantasy Football hosts a show on David Locke's Locked On Network as well.